This podcast episode has a CC by SA 4.0 license. This license requires that reusers give credit to the creator. It allows reusers to distribute, remix, adapt, and build upon the material in any medium or format, even for commercial purposes. If others remix, adapt, or build upon the material, they must license the modified material under identical terms. Thank you. So we are here for an episode of the CoLab podcast. Let's introduce ourselves. I am Charlie Wilson. I am working as the communications officer for the International Permaculture CoLab, sending lots of emails, lots of internal and external communications. And I'm here with Aline. Can you say something about yourself?
Good morning, Charlie. Yes, well, my name is Aline, and I'm also a collaborator of the Global Permaculture CoLab in a little different project, but yeah, loving the collaboration and the learning. So it's definitely an interesting place to be collaborating at.
Yes, wonderful.
Do you want me to say more about the projects in the CoLab or?
I think today we'd like to focus on your project outside, your grassroots permaculture project.
Yes.
So I understand you're working in a permaculture workers cooperative. And yeah, this is quite a broad term. Yes, maybe you can tell me something about this.
Yeah, indeed. The term is broad, and you know, there we go with our first challenge, because it's very difficult to put it to the public in the normal business panorama, let's say. It's like, okay, so we're a cooperative of permaculture designers, and then people go, what do you do? So we have three branches that we also present like this on our website. So La Casa Integra, or the integral house, means that we want to be offering regenerative solutions to the person through courses and learning and online webinars, etc. Also to the home. So if these solutions are not able to be learned by any individual as such, but the home, the family, the people, they want to implement regenerative solutions, well, they can contract a design, or they can even contract the implementation through us as well. So we design a lot for design, let's say, part, that layer of the design in the home is where we focus, because of course also we live in Spain, and our context is often one of drought and then amazing, tremendous rainfall events. So we design for rainwater catchment, and we design for reutilizing wastewaters and purifying them as well with plants, etc. So we also have natural pools. So that's like the set of regenerative solutions for the home, for the family. And we have an acronym that we use for this. So we go from food sovereignty to water, to bioconstruction, to energy, to personal and social resilience as well, actually. So this would be consulting in your home if you want to get a design and an implementation. That's then a separate service that we offer, etc. So these are already two branches: the regenerative solutions for the person through learning, and we facilitate courses, the regenerative solutions for the home, which is our design studio. And then the third branch is the regenerative solutions for the community. So this would be, we open our doors, we try to live our motto, our vision, let's say. So we walk the talk. And we open doors from time to time, because people ask us, so what is your integral house like? Wow. So we invite them to, open door days, and in exchange for a few hours of their time helping us in a certain task, We then guide them through the whole design and show them what we've implemented so far. We've only just arrived on a new site, really. It's been 1 year, so we're still learning a lot about the soil, which is very difficult to work with, this type of soil. So, but yeah, interesting. So that's basically La Casa Integral. It's not easily said. Yeah, we do say it. Regenerative solutions for the person, the home, and the community. And then you get the whole detailed explanation for each one of them. So,
okay, amazing. Yeah, such precious work. And yeah, you're definitely covering a lot of bases, it sounds like. So can I
too
ask...
many sometimes we think.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, sure. Can I ask, how are you reaching people? How are you reaching into the community to offer these wonderful services?
Well, we have a website, but I'm not sure if that is such a useful tool, because I don't understand anything of SEO or positioning or anything like that. So I can't say, really. We work with social media, like Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn. But to be honest, I think we're also lucky in a way that both my partner and myself, we have a bit of a history in the permaculture surroundings, me on the Balearic Islands, and then my partner here in Catalonia in the northeast of Spain. And so once you start combining two people who have their own associations and their own networks, we then got together in COVID times. So we were locked down together. We were forced to talk permaculture all day, imagine. So that's where our project actually sprouted. The seed was sown, and out came La Casa Integral, gathering what we have learned through more than a decade, Juan Pedro even more than, yeah, almost getting to 15 years now. And then, yeah, you have a following already. And when you then start saying, hey, look, people, we're no longer just the teachers or the advocates or the activists. We're now also, you know, we think we're ready. We're professional designers. We're going to be selling our service. And then also a lot of networking on the ground. As soon as I always keep saying it, as soon as I got locked down here, because I felt it was a bit of a, oh, I didn't decide to come and live here in Catalonia. I was quite happy on Mallorca with my association, etc. But, you know, the context was such that I was here when lockdowns were called and I decided to stay. So as soon as I got locked down here, I started saying hello to the neighbors and on my morning walks, or, you know, on the few outings that you were still allowed to make, like go shopping, I would speak to the shopkeepers and, oh, hi, hello, I've just arrived here, and where can I buy organic veg, and is there anybody who does such and such? And, you know, starting immediately to offer as well abundance, you know, share my resources. I was holding permaculture gatherings for English and Spanish speakers so that English speakers could learn Spanish through permaculture and the other way around, which was actually quite successful as well. So yeah, practicing the ethics as soon as I came to a new place, and then yeah, diversity of our two minds, creativity, then came up with La Casa Integral.
Amazing. So it sounds like your networking is quite organic. Everything just happens quite naturally. Mm. You are already connected to lots of people.
Yeah, indeed. And I have to say, actually, my diploma mentor, Stella Strega, she was always kind of pushing me to go with this role. She was saying the world in times of transition needs, I can't remember what they are all called now, but there is a certain set of roles that are like going to be key in this transition time. I think it is from the story of Stuff. You know, these little videos, and she's this woman from the story of Stuff has also identified these roles as there will be the need for people doing stuff on the ground and we will need bridge builders. And that was apparently, or is apparently, my role. So connecting people and like, oh, okay, I might not be able to do something physically. I might not have the capacity myself to actually do this and fit this and that together. But, oh, you need this. Wait, I know somebody over there. I'll go and get you the contact. So I bring people together from different circles and different networks. And yeah, that's the beauty of my role. I think that's where I feel at home, connecting people.
Amazing. That's wonderful. And I wonder how you came to choose this area in Spain for your project. Did you already have a base here, or how did it come about?
Yeah, well, my base on Mallorca was because I was there as a student when I was at university. I was actually studying Oriental philosophy and languages, so I wanted to travel the world and as far as I possibly could go. So that's why I studied Far Eastern cultures. And during the summer breaks at university, I was working as an entertainer in hotels, which is not exactly stroking with the Far Eastern languages and cultures, but it was a start. You know, I was getting about, and I ended up on the Balearic Islands. Didn't want to go there at all, but in the hope of at a later stage in the company being able to ask, could I please go to Turkey or Greece, you know, or something a bit more interesting than Mallorca or Ibiza. But it never got to that, actually. I did 3 years Balearics, and I met somebody on Mallorca. And after a couple of years on the island, I actually started to love the Spanish culture, the little villages, the bioregion, the cultural landscape. I learned about permaculture. I got to know so many fantastic people. So Mallorca is definitely a hot spot for, you know, there's 38% of population on Mallorca is foreign. And a lot of these nationalities bring, you know, a lot of knowledge from all over the world. So I felt like it was a bit of a cooking pot for activism and organic demand, you know, started quite early on. So that's why I stayed on Mallorca in the end, because I really felt that, you know, things are happening and it's fantastic. I have to admit that I had already started thinking about water on an island without any rivers. If it dries up down below, and of course there is a lot of tourism, what are we going to do? Because, you know, at some stage back in the 80s, I think it was, they trucked water into the Balearic Islands because there was a drought. And then they had to chuck that water in the sea because the tanker it came in had been recently painted and it had contaminated the drinking water. So they had to chuck it in the sea and buy it again. Crazy stuff. So I had actually considered moving to the mainland or even going back to Belgium because of what if we are going to be without water. So I was definitely connecting as well with organizations on the mainland. I was also active in the statewide organization. And then when I got together with my now partner, Juan Pedro, he was in this particular area, which is the Maresma coast, just north of Barcelona. Because of the school, his son is in a free school or a live education school. I'm not sure what the English saying would be for this type of education, but where children can actually be their own decision makers, as in, I would like to learn this and in such a way, and they're being accompanied rather than taught what to do. So that's why we're here, no other reason. And because it's a very similar context to Mallorca, it's coastline, it's quite heavily populated. not just with people going back and forth to Barcelona every day, but also tourism and people who come from abroad because they want a second home near the coast and they can drive from France, Germany, Holland, Switzerland, etc. So again, we have this same context. What if the water runs out? Because in our little it's comarca in Catalan, in Spanish. It's an area where there's no rivers or no really big underground aquifers or water bodies. So we're totally depending from underground flowing from the Pyrenees and from other watersheds that would just feed our soil. And we're very close to the coast, so salinity is also a thing. And we're like, right, we've got all these urbanizations here. We're on a hillside facing the sea, so we've got wind as well. We are southeast facing, so we also have high insulation. People keep pulling water up out of this ground, out of this dry soil, and it's not being fed back into the soil. It's just going downhill, either into the purifying plant or straight into the sea, because we don't have sewers in our urbanizations. So whenever somebody is changing the water in their pool or having a backwash session, the water ends up on the street, runs down the streets downhill because we're all on a hillside, and then the first little torrent it can find, it will go there. So either it is contaminating that natural area and its natural park, or it ends up in the sea with stormwater. So we're like, oh God, this is definitely the topic we need to be focusing on because of where we are. Both Mallorca, which I still visit often, and I still am part of the association Permacultura Mediterránea over there. And then here, the Maresma area, north of Barcelona, which is actually, I think, scalable to the rest of the Mediterranean coastline. So that's why we're doing what we're doing, focusing on water and working with our wastewater, avoiding contamination right where we are.
Yes, wow. Sounds like you have some big challenges. So, yeah, the water is a big challenge, it sounds like. And you also mentioned the soil in the area where you live is a challenge.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I wonder if you have any other challenges.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, the biggest challenge maybe at the moment is the legal framework, because it's not clear what can be done with wastewaters. We see more and more scientific papers that talk about, yes, and reed beds and grey water recycling, and we can use the food chain reactors and the living machines and all these systems that have been in use for quite some time now in several eco villages or in other communities, not in Spain. We're like, okay, we want to be working with fully nature-based solutions. We sometimes include solar pumps, but only in the installation phase where the plants are still very young and they may not yet have the root capacity to be purifying the water that comes in into the aquatic garden bed. So solar pump is maybe a small period of time that we would use that, but it's like the appropriate technology part of the installation, and it would definitely not be necessary for the whole remainder of its lifetime. But the first part that we are working with in our wastewater recycling or reusing system is a vermifilter. So it's a worm composting bin where we receive the feces. So fecal matter is arriving in a big worm composting bin with lots of wood chip. And there are studies out there about, yes, vermifilters on a large scale, they work fine, etc. But in composting facilities, or maybe, yeah, kitchen food scraps, or in a restaurant. Oh, yes, fantastic. But actually having your poo go down into a vermicomposting bin is, yeah, I'm finding it hard to put my finger on legislation and be able to show people, look, this is where it says this is okay.
Yes.
But I have to say, people as clients are becoming more and more courageous, I think, these days as well. And a lot of our clients don't even ask about legislation. They're like, okay, fantastic. This just makes perfect sense. This is the way to go. And they also see the abundance in their gardens at the end of the day. So the three-stage system that we are maybe focusing on a little bit, because we also see it's a niche in our market. There's lots of people who know more about regenerative agriculture and working with livestock than I do, or lots of people who know much better how to present a lovely Tadalect bathroom, bioconstruction techniques, etc. There is definitely a whole load of people who know a bunch more about photovoltaic installations and rocket stoves and all that than I do. So let's stick with this water system. So the three parts of the system are the vermicomposting bin. Then after that, you know, the water is then in touch with the fecal matter just for a very short moment of time. It's like you flush the loo, the poo stays with the worms in the wood chip. The water goes on, carries on straight away into the aquatic garden bed. In the aquatic garden bed, we find gravel and the aquatic plants that do the fantastic job of bringing oxygen down to the roots and therefore helping the microbiology that lives in the roots to be able to process all the nutrients that come out of the vermicomposting bin. And then from there, we have a siphon that fills up, and we work with quantities of about 40 to 60 liters at the end of the system. And when it fills up, the siphon mechanically empties out, and you can, with quite some force, you can lead this water to a, we call it intelligent plant bed. Mm-hmm. So you choose your plants in an intelligent way to be able to first, of course, cope with the nutrient load that might be coming out of your system. This depends, of course, on what you eat, etc. And it very much depends. And this is where we also go to, it's not just a solution at the end of your toilet. We feel that it's a solution for a change of lifestyle and a change of behavior, because people start thinking, hang on, if I'm dropping this paint down my loo, like some people would do if you have a normal sewer system, then the worms are not going to be happy. So if you're working with a life system, you get people to think more about what they're using, even soaps and shampoos, etc. So we also accompany people there with the choice of biodegradable soaps, etc., or make your own. Or we even have a friend who makes her soaps and shampoos and offers workshops. So it's a holistic as I could say, because there's so much more that comes to play. And the plants at the end of the system that are being watered with this nutrient-rich water, and it can actually be as nutrient-rich as you want to, it will for sure be purified. But if you want it cleaner still, you can either make your aquatic garden bed longer, so the water stays longer in this purifying bed with the plants, or you can have it cycle through it again. Once it comes into the siphon with one of these small solar pumps, you can pump the water back through the aquatic garden bed and it has another go. So then you lower the load of nutrients, but you may well want to be using these because, you know, soil and plants and microbiology in the soil is actually in need of these nutrients. And if we are thinking about where we are going with fertilizer prices, nitrogen's going up, phosphorus might be running out, potassium is always lacking in our type of soil, then, you know, why not keep it in there and just have it go to plants that love it? And then you have biomass, you can get food, you can have fruit trees, or you can have building materials grow and fibers, etc. So wow. We feel it's kind of like, obtain a yield. Definitely the principle at work.
Amazing. It's so interesting. It's wonderful that there are such solutions that are creative, but actually they're so simple and natural.
Exactly. Isn't there this famous saying, Bill Mollison said, that the answer to the world's problems are still ridiculously simple?
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing.
Yeah, we need to simplify everything, I think.
Exactly, yeah. And there's lots of good information out there. So we've been working with information that came to us through Art Ludwig's Oasis Design, fabulous website. Brad Lancaster, who works with rainwater catchment in the landscape as well. Then there is a website by Wendy Howard, which is vermicompostingtoilets.net. She's shared all her designs and drawings there, and people can communicate to her about how if she then lets it go into a leaching field. So it's somewhat different to what we then adapted from there. And another website is vermifilter.com. So, you know, there is so much information out there. It's just, you know, where do we get the experience of how to fit it? Because it's not a product that you say, let's just make it and we'll put it on a truck and we'll ship it out. No, because each design is to context. So that's why we need permaculture.
Amazing. So I wonder, if I was one of your clients, say I was just a regular person working 9 to 5, maybe I heard something about permaculture, but I don't really have a clue what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just living in a regular house. And yeah, if you came to my house, I wonder what's the first thing you would say, how you would sell these ideas to me, and like what you would focus on.
Yeah, well, actually, this is also why we've left permaculture out of the equation in our marketing and in our slogan, let's say, because we feel that this barrier is maybe sometimes causing us to be put in a box. If people don't understand it, they won't come and check it out. And if we just use the term the integral house and regenerative solutions for you and your family, it's like, oh, good, yes, because I think a lot of people are aware of, oh, wow, we're in a bit of a pickle here. We need to be looking at doing something. And, it, you know, it's becoming even obligatory now for businesses to be working towards the SDGs, etc. So we're also working with campsites and with hotels, and we now have a wine cellar as a client. So, you know, people need to start looking for the solutions to their water problems. You're no longer allowed to water just regular grass here in Spain because of the drought.
Yes.
So we've also been contacted by a maintenance company that looks after a flat community. So 93 flats in a community right on the beach here, and they have a lovely lawn. And of course, they are now no longer allowed to water the lawn. So the person who's looking after all the maintenance and the plumbing, etc. over there, contacted us and said, okay, so what are we going to do? We need this lawn to be green because people pay a lot of community money. And when they come in the summer, they only come in the summer, the rest of the year it's empty. They will want their lawn to be green. And it's like, okay, you can't water. So either you will have a beach in front of you, or hang on, what's happening when you are there in summer? Oh, 93 flats full of people showering, doing the dishes, going to the loo. Where's all that water going? Okay, let's work with that. So the problem is the solution.
And seems so obvious.
It seems so obvious, yeah. But no, when we get to a regular family, like you just said, we tend to not push too far and just offer them the solutions that we think are, as you say, obvious, and where people can save some money. So definitely call it out, as in you will get a yield, you will have plants, and you will be saving on water, because water as a resource is scarce, and it's getting more and more expensive to be getting it through the tap.
appealing to the economic side, I think. That's
Exactly.
what's going to be effective.
And it might well be the first hook that they go for. Of course, it's not a cheap installation because it's not something that we can say, like, okay, it's 500 euros and there you go, you will have it all set up in a week. No, because as I mentioned earlier, we design to context. We need wood chip, we need the garden bed, we need the gravel, the plants, etc., etc. So it's quickly a couple of thousand euros. And then depending on your terrain, slope, yes, no, if you need pumps or not, we did one installation where the septic tank was at the bottom of the plot. And the people wanted to work with the effluent from the septic tank to get it up to the top, to the garden, behind the house, on the top. So lots of pumping and piping. You can then ask, is that maybe getting a bit heavy on the embodied energy and the footprint? But this person is now able to water a lawn up on the top with their own water generated in the house without having to call a truck to come and empty that septic tank water every 3 to 6 months. So we do save on another footprint elsewhere. So it's not just the money, it's the footprint, it's the yield that you obtain. It all adds up. It's difficult to see it at first, but then one of our first clients, a family which the woman is the doctor of the community, so the local doctor. And she's really gone all out. She's now thrown out all of the plastic in her house. She's making her own soaps and detergents as well. And she's looking at seed saving and the plants that they are using, etc., and totally into avoiding microplastics. And we started with okay, our septic tank smells, looks awful, overruns, and we need to get the truck all the time, and it's expensive, and we want to get rid of this. Okay, we'll put in our Sirar, the vermicomposting bin with the aquatic garden bed and the siphon, and you will get some vegetables at the end or some fruit trees that you can water as well. And from there, they got the natural pool, they've got, what I just said, all the plastic out of the house and the soap making and the So it's been a life change.
Yeah, actually, there's so many benefits.
Yeah, and it stacks up. So it's amazing. It's inspiring to see people, go. And experience has told us that if you would present this to those same people on day one, like, you will change your life in such and such a ways, they will say, no, I don't think so. But yeah, they've gotten to it and it's happened more than once. So it's beautiful to be able to see it happen. We've also actually had people from the administration, from the town halls, visit some of our installations. And yeah, in this particular check, there was a leak in one of the urbanizations. They sent out the town architect to go and find it and to check everybody's septic tank, because here we are obliged to have a septic tank because we don't have sewers. So everybody needs to look after their wastewater on their own terrain. And in this particular house, we were sitting on the edge of our chair waiting for news. Is it going to pass? And apparently, yeah, this chap had said, fabulous, everybody should have one of these. So
Wow, that's
that was a
great.
good one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's such good news. And I wonder, like, you're doing such amazing work. I wonder what kind of support you're receiving, like from the community, from funders, yeah, anything that is helping your project.
Oh well, we're receiving help actually in all kinds of forms of capital. And I do have to say I'm very grateful for one particular person who has lended us some money to be able to purchase the property where we are, because at the time of having to move where we were during lockdowns, there was nothing for rent because everybody had wanted to leave Barcelona, and so it was very difficult to get a property, and even harder to get a rental property. So this one person, I She knows who she is and definitely forever grateful to that person. But on the other side, we have a lot of pioneers in the permaculture network that are helping us in one way or another. Like, for example, Darren Doherty came to Mallorca on many occasions. He's very good friends with my colleague Mandy as well, who's hosted him and his family at her house. And so he's allowing us as an association to be present in his workplace, which is the app by Facebook, to be present with a work team. So that's where we are together with professional Region Ag people from all over the world. And we're learning so much from, wow, from Darren and from all these people as well. So that is definitely one fantastic help. And there is other people like him as well. And then all, I have to say, other than intellectual help, we've got lots and lots and lots of that. There's no funding as such. We are applying here and there and pitching, thinking maybe this kind of person. But then it's also, I think it's a very difficult topic, because who you get funded by, how much will they then change your vision, yes, and your, sure, and your goals? How much say will they have? Will they want returns, etc.? So we're kind of trying to steer clear of that a little bit. Although if anybody who's listening would like to come and see us and say, hey, I will get a team into your property and help you develop your demonstration site, because that's at the moment where we are lacking time and investment. We are so busy at work in the design studio branch. We're so busy with work in the personal solutions, the teaching and facilitation through other organizations as well, like Gaia Education. I also facilitate for them online. So those two branches are taking up all of our time at the moment. So branch number three, develop our demonstration site and be able to receive local youth, local administrations, local companies, or even local people to come and see what's possible. This is what we can do for your home as well. That's where we are currently lacking time, people, yeah, investment money, etc. So that might, great, be a project to present somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So if people want to get involved, they could contact you, visit your website.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, we're actually even thinking of, we have a little cottage in the back of the property, and we were thinking of maybe we should do it up and make it comfortable enough for somebody to come and actually, you know, help exchange, or a woofer or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, because our design, which is up there, is still in, like, you know, we've just spent a year here, so we should now be getting close to, okay, being cleared on all sectors and influences from outside. So we're looking at speeding up on that next. I'm having a couple of weeks off actually soon. So hopefully that'll be a good push. Yeah,
great, wonderful. So I think we're going to come to a close soon. Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, your project just sounds amazing, like you're really making a difference in the world.
Thank you.
Locally. So yeah, before we finish, I'd like to ask, what would you say is your mission? Like, if you made a short statement, this is why your project exists.
I would have to ask my partner. Juan Pedro would say, we want more impact. Yeah, it's definitely very exciting being alive at today's day and age, because the world is opening up to regenerative solutions in all shapes, forms, and sizes. And to see that we are able to help people on a personal level, on a family level, on the community level, in tourism, etc., it really does make us dream big and think, as in, hey, This could really be a national cooperative of permaculture designers with all sorts of teams working on all of the letters in the acronym. And yeah, we're on the right track. So we're feeling that we're part of the good thing,
Amazing.
So yeah, for
Yeah,
sure.
you
And of
sound.
course, always part of the mission is to not forget about self-care. I've already
Yes.
been close to activist burnout a couple of years ago. So coming down to earth is what I try to do every morning, going into the garden and just connecting with the natural systems at work whilst I am
Yes.
asleep. So no, that's the first thing I do, and that's definitely something that I hold up high. Not get overwhelmed with all the possible scales that we could be working at, but stay close to the ground and observe the little
Yes.
ants doing the work.
Yeah, it can be very easy to forget when we're following our passion, I think.
Indeed, yes. But isn't it great, right?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I can feel your passion. It just
Yes.
comes through so strong.
So many people doing such great work, so it's very inspiring. Yeah.
Amazing. So, yeah, we just open a space. Like, is there anything else you want to share before we finish? Anything I didn't ask, maybe?
Oh God, I could talk for hours and hours and hours, but yeah, I would like to actually open the door as well for youth work. This is something that we would like to be more open for, also for local youth. And because when we're thinking of growing the cooperative, we're right now at that stage where we're like, okay, there would probably be enough money in the pot to go and pay for at least one other person. And if we could get into a circle of youth where people would actually also become as passionate as we are about being able to regenerate your immediate context, then we would jump at that opportunity for sure. Because when we're trying to reschool professionals who've already gone through, we have a lot of architects or technical people in our PDCs who then tell us, ah, we didn't see any of this in our careers. And I also took a master in landscaping design, for example, and it was like eye-opening to see what on earth are they teaching
Wow.
and what are they failing to teach, So if we could just get into the curriculums, and we're getting close there as well, because that's also exciting time. Permaculture and education is seeping through. So there are some universities already open to that, etc. So, get that passion alive from when people have to choose their life path between 18, 25, and then get them on this track. Yeah, cooperativism and working with nature-based solutions, and why, also understand these connections. That's something that we are trying to attention to as well, and would
Yeah.
love to work with other people who are working on that.
Amazing. That's wonderful. Reaching the young
Yeah.
people, I think it's so important.
Yeah.
And making them
So
realize there's just different choices than what maybe they're presented with at school. And yeah.
exactly. And that anything is possible, because abundance just starts happening as soon as you work with nature and not against it. So,
Amazing.
yeah. Well, thank you for opening the space, Charlie. It's been amazing. I've been speaking so much, I feel, but.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you for sharing. It's been very informative and educational for me as well.
Thank you so much, and good luck with your podcast project.
Yeah, thank you.
Great, you're giving the floor to people who want to talk about their projects.
Yeah,
Fantastic.
it's great. Hopefully, we have some more great projects coming up.
No doubt.
Okay, so thank you very much, and
Thank
bye
you.
bye.
Bye.